Yes, good morning. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Sitting on cold floor, right? You like it, okay. Great.
We are in 6th chapter, 11th canto. So yesterday we have seen how all the demigods came to Dwaraka and offered obeisances to Krishna and offered prayers to Krishna. So we have seen first 5 verses of the prayers. Today we will discuss 12th verse, right na? Paryushtaya tava vibho vanamalayeyam Samprardhini bhagavati paripatni vachshrihi Yasu pranitam अमुयार्हणमाददोन्नुम् भूयात् सदाङ्घ्रिरशुभाशय धूमकेतुः
Open the curtains.
O Almighty Lord, you are so kind to your servants that you have accepted the withered flower garland that we have placed on your chest. Since the goddess of fortune makes her abode on your transcendental chest, she will undoubtedly become agitated like a jealous co-wife upon seeing our offering also dwelling there. Yet you are so merciful that you neglect your eternal consort Lakshmi and accept our offering as most excellent worship. O merciful Lord, may your lotus feet always act as a blazing fire to consume the inauspicious desires within our hearts.
So, all the demigods are in a little humorous mode, joking mode now, joking mood. He says, Paryushtaya tava vibho vanamalayayam. So, we have offered you one garland which we brought from heavenly planets. And that garland is quite withered compared to the garlands that you wear here. So, withered garland, they are saying, in a jovial mood. And Goddess of Fortune makes her abode on your transcendental chest. And she will undoubtedly become agitated like a jealous co-wife because we are offering some garland to you. And then garland falls on your chest, and on the chest, Lakshmi is there. She may feel little disturbed or whatever. Just like Prithu also. Prithu said, I want to serve your lotus feet, but there could be a competition between me and Lakshmi, because both of us are aspiring for the same service. And if there is a competition or quarrel between me and Lakshmi, I am sure you will take my side, not Lakshmi's side. Because, and even if there is a quarrel between you and her, you can do without her also, right, like that Prithu says. So some of these devotees may get into that kind of competitive mode. But there is absolutely no competition between Prithu or Lakshmi because Prithu is a Dasya Bhakta, Lakshmi is a Madhurya Bhakta. So it's like his rasa, something similar. Demigods are also saying here in a very jovial mood. And finally they are saying, you are Ashubhashaya Dhumaketu. Yesterday also we discussed this verse, this word. So all the contaminated aspirations which are there in our hearts can be vanquished. Just like forest fire annihilates everything. Similarly, Lord enters our hearts and annihilates all the contaminated desires in our hearts. Pibantaye Bhagavata Atmanasatam Kathamvratam Shravanaputeshu Samvratam Punantite Vishaya Vidushita Asayam. Or Asaya is contaminated by desires for sense enjoyment. So Bhagavatam sound vibration will enter our hearts and cleanse it. So Prabhupada quotes, not Prabhupada, Prabhupada's disciples. They quote Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhaktyupahritam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. So Krishna is actually very grateful to accept a small offering, whether it is Patram or Pushpam. So Krishna is also very grateful to the little worship that a soul offers. It's not that Krishna is in need of that worship, but out of his affection, out of his humility, out of his simplicity, he also becomes obliged and becomes grateful to the little service that a devotee renders. The devotee may do service and then he forgets, but Krishna will remember it. And Krishna's remembrance can never just go away. His hard disk can never overflow. He can remember one small favor or whatever service that we have done to him some millions of lifetimes back. And he may reciprocate for it now also. Same thing happened in the case of Gajendra. Gajendra was Indradyumna Maharaj in his previous birth. So he did a lot of service. When Gajendra was in difficulty, Lord gave him the remembrance of the prayer that he has memorized in the previous life. So Gajendra could offer that prayer. Namaste, all that. Well, how does it begin? No. How does the prayer of Gajendra begin? First verse. Anyway. Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam. Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam. Okay, anyways. Unless a transcendentalist completely gives up the impersonal conception of life, he cannot make such a loving offering to the Lord. And if you consider the Lord as impersonal, then where is the question of offering a garland to someone who is not a person only? So offering all this patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, that actually is recognizing the Lord as a person, right? So it's expressing our gratitude and earning Krishna's gratitude. So we are there only to earn the gratitude of Krishna and Vaishnavas, earn the blessings of Krishna and Vaishnavas. So in our sadhaka life, we need to behave in such a way that we gather a lot of blessings of devotees and blessings of Krishna and gratitude of devotees and Krishna. So when will the feeling of gratitude be invoked in other people? When we render selfless service. When our service is tainted with selfish ambitions and other ulterior motives, then a feeling of gratitude and blessing will not invoke in others' hearts. Right? A thank you may come out of his mouth or whatever formalities are there, that kind of formal reciprocation may happen. But a genuine feeling of gratitude and genuine feeling of wishing well for others and blessing others will invoke in the heart of a Vaishnava only when our behavior with that person is selfless. So selfless service is like one important element that we need to cultivate in our devotional service. If we stick to only the official boundaries and do certain things, then if we don't extend ourselves beyond our comfort zone and then try to serve Vaishnavas and Krishna with that selfless spirit, then the genuine blessings may not be invoked. Genuine gratitude may not be invoked in the hearts of others. Right? Next. The process of meditation upon the super soul within the heart called Dhyana Yoga is not as pleasing to Krishna as Bhakti Yoga or devotional service. Because in Dhyana or meditation, the yogi is trying to satisfy himself with mystic powers. So now another point. But one who desires actual spiritual perfection must be enlivened to always chant and hear the glories of the Lord. Such devotional enthusiasm is motivated by love of Godhead and is devoid of any selfish expectation. This is what I was trying to, you know, elaborate. So selfish expectation. Now when we say that I should be serving selflessly other Vaishnavas and earn their gratitude and blessings, I should not be expecting something from them in return. Then only a feeling of gratitude will be invoked in them. I should not be expecting any favor, right, for whatever I have done. Then they will give genuine blessings, genuine appreciation. So Krishna also, if you render service to him selflessly, without expecting any material benediction in return, he's happy. So why is he doing this service? Just for the sake of doing service. He wants to serve. So the driving force behind all our activities should be selflessness, and that selflessness comes when we are grateful. Right? So these devotees are around me, they are facilitating for my being in proper consciousness. Right? They are inspiring me to deepen my connection with Krishna, so I am grateful to them. So if I am grateful to them, I can render service to them selflessly. So if we are grateful to them and we serve them selflessly, then they will become grateful to us, and then they will selflessly bestow blessings. Sincere blessings will come. But if the driving force behind our activities is not that of selflessness and gratitude, if it is only because of some official boundaries and protocols and so if that kind of feeling is there, then the reciprocation is also like that. So this Yayathamam principle works in most circles. It's not only that Krishna reciprocates like that. So most people in this world reciprocate like that. Yayathamam prapadyante. Right? Even if other person he doesn't reciprocate like that in a selfless way, still if we selflessly serve him with gratitude for whatever little service he has done, that will nourish our inner consciousness. So it's not only that I will earn his gratitude and blessings. Actually, by selflessly serving with gratitude, I am nourishing my inner self. The happiness, the bliss of devotional service becomes accessible to me if there is gratitude and selflessness within me. If there is an ulterior motive and an expectation in return, may it's a favor kiya, why can't you do this favor to me? I gave you so much time that time, why don't you give me time now? So if that kind of expectations are there, right, it may not be immediate expectations, maybe future expectations. Abhi kuch kar diya to, ek saal ke baad mera kaam kar dega. So if that kind of expectations are there, our service is tainted with those ulterior motives, and we cannot nourish ourselves within properly. So the nourishment of our heart happens when we are actually grateful and selfless. The Lord is so kind that he neglects his own eternal consort, Lakshmi, and gives preference to his humble devotee, just as a man will neglect the loving embrace of his wife when his affectionate children approaches him with a gift. Right? So similarly, there is no possibility that mundane jealousy could appear in the character of Goddess of Fortune, who is as transcendental as Lord Krishna himself. So all these are basically humorous words that the demigods are speaking, that we have already seen. So no selfish expectation is one important element in this purport. 13th verse. Ketus trivikrama yutas tripatat patakum. Yaste bhaya bhaya karo asura deva chambo svargaya sadhu shukale shvitaraya bhuman padah punatu bhagavan bhajatam aghamna.
O omnipotent Lord, in your incarnation as Trivikrama, you raised your leg like a flagpole to break the shell of the universe, allowing the holy Ganges to flow down like a banner of victory in three branches throughout the three planetary systems. By three mighty steps of your lotus feet, your lordship captured Bali Maharaj along with his universal kingdom. Your lotus feet inspire fear in the demons by driving them down to hell and fearlessness among your devotees by elevating them to the perfection of heavenly life. We are sincerely trying to worship you, our Lord. Therefore, may your lotus feet kindly free us from all of our sinful reactions.
This is another beautiful prayer. How Trivikrama just subdued the demons, Bali Maharaj and others, and favored the demigods. They are fondly remembering that. And they are saying, Yaste bhaya bhaya karo suradeva chamvoho. So Krishna is such a amazing personality that bhaya abhaya karo suradeva chamvoho. He can simultaneously cause fear and fearlessness in two different categories of people at the same time. So bhaya abhaya karo. So the Lord's lotus feet will cause fear in the demons, fearlessness in devotees. How specifically in this Vamandev episode, Lord raised his foot and pierced the coverings of the universe and brought the celestial Ganges down to this universe. So that caused fear in demons. So Lord's lotus feet, Lord Trivikrama's lotus feet, caused fear in the demons and fearlessness in the devotees. Because Ganga is descending. And the glories of the Lord's lotus feet are spread. So they are very happy. So Swargaya Sadhushu Kaleshu Itaraya Bhuman Swargaya Sadhushu. So Krishna causes auspiciousness for Swargaya Sadhushu, for devotees. And he causes inauspiciousness for the demons. Actually, when Lord is causing something, it cannot be inauspicious. So apparently, Lord is favoring the demigods and not favoring the demons. But whatever may be the dealing of the Lord, it's ultimately a favor. Just like in this world, whether we enter heaven or hell, whether we get happiness or distress, whether we get curse or blessing, it's all inauspicious only in this world. So in every dealing with Maya, we encounter only inauspiciousness. In every dealing with Krishna, we encounter only auspiciousness. So these are like two separate things. So whether Krishna is dealing with demigods or demons, he is ultimately favoring them only. Dealing may seem to be apparently opposite, exactly opposite. But Krishna is causing favor to both of them. And material nature also, Krishna's Maya also, may apparently favoring someone and not favoring someone. But both are considered to be not favoring only, not favors, right? So sukha, dukha, everything is same. What is that, the sixth canto, 17th chapter? Not Narayana Parasarve. He says, guna pravaha etasmin kashyapa konvanugraha kim svargam narakah kimva kim sukham dukham evava. What is svarga, what is naraka? What is sukha, what is dukha? What is shapa, what is anugraha? Everything is duality, and dualities have no eternal effect. So in material world, all these dealings, no duality. Dualities have no eternal effect. And in Lord's dealings also, apparently duality is seen. Favor and unfavor is seen, but it's both favorable only. So the scene of Lord Trivikrama raising his leg is appearing like a flagpole with a wonderful flowing victory banner. Okay. Next to 14th verse. Nasyota gava ivayasya vashe bhavanti brahmadayastanubhruto mithurardhyamanaha kalasya te prakriti purushayo parasya shamnastanotu charana purushottamasya.
You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the transcendental entity who is superior to both material nature and the enjoyer of nature. May your lotus feet bestow transcendental pleasure upon us. All of the great demigods, beginning with Brahma, are embodied living entities, struggling painfully with one another under the strict control of your time factor. They are just like bulls dragged by ropes tied through their pierced noses.
So if bull is not tied with a rope through its nose, it becomes uncontrollable. But we don't do that here. It's only because of the causeless mercy of the bull that we are able to walk along when the bullock cart is running. And we also touch the bull also. We do so many things with the bull. But still, out of their causeless mercy, they don't do anything. But bull is generally uncontrollable if you don't tie it. So, struggling painfully with one another under the strict control of your time factor, they are just like bulls dragged by ropes tied through their pierced noses. So, everybody is under the Supreme Lord's control. Lord, in the form of time factor, will control everyone. So, that controllership of the Lord is explained in 14th and 15th verses. So, but the living entity is, however, strictly under the control of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and victory and defeat are always in the hands of the Lord. So, this does not contradict the fact that living entity loses his free will. Now, when you compare the Lord or time factor to be the ultimate controller, and everything is happening because of that only, if the bull is tied and the bullock cart driver is actually controlling the bull, that means bull has no free will. That's what we might understand. But in this case of Lord's controllership over the living entity, it is not so. So, victory and defeat are actually in the hands of the Lord, but that does not contradict the fact that living entity's free will is not there. Right? Living entity's free will is still there. He has this independent choice to choose, right? That is there. Krishna will never interfere with that. Now, an example is given, analogy. In a legal battle, neither the prosecution nor the defense can act independently of the legal system, presided over the authorized judge. Victory and defeat in the court are awarded by the judge, but the judge is acting according to the laws, which do not favor or discriminate against either side. So, this does not contradict the fact of the living entity's free will, since the Lord awards victory and defeat according to the merit of the living entities. So, Lord is bestowing victory or defeat only according to the merit. It's under his control. Just like a judgment is there, it's under the judge's control. But judge does not act whimsically. Judge acts according to what the people involved in the case deserve. So, living entity's choice is there. For example, somebody climbs on this building on top of that Gokul Kutir, and he has two choices. He can just sit there, stand there, take a sun bath, or jump from the building. Right? So, if his choice, he has this free will to choose. If his choice is to jump from the building, then Krishna's law is there. His leg will break, or hand will break, or head will break, something like that. What will break? Krishna will decide. But whether to jump or not, living entity will decide. Right? So he may take a sun bath. Maybe he may be relieved from cold, or he may sweat too much, or he may faint in this sunlight. So all that, it's not within his control, but whether to take sun bath or jump, that is there in his control, or get down and go back and sit in his room, that is within his control. So while he's jumping, he may think, right, why did I jump, right, which part of my body will touch the ground first, all that he may think on the way, traveling from top floor to ground floor, he may think like that is within his control, but which part will break, that is not within his control. Once you have taken a path, where will you reach is not within your control. But whether to take that path or not is within your control. Right? So destiny depends on what choices you make now. So Lord, when you say Lord is the destiny maker, he is the destiny maker definitely, depending on what choice you make now. So living entity's free will is intact. Lord will never interfere with the free will of the living entity. At the same time, depending on what choice he makes, depending on what he deserves, Lord will award him the result. Awarder of results is Lord only, just like a judge. Similarly, the personality of Godhead is awarding us the results of our previous activities. That's why do good things happen to bad people? We have this popular thing, why bad things happen to good people? But here is the question, why good things happen to bad people? One may say that, he is itna papi hai ho, he is so sinful fellow, why is he so opulent? Why is he enjoying his life so nicely? Why nothing is happening to him? Why is he so healthy? Why there is a lot of popularity for him? He is such a sinful rascal and he is so popular, people are worshipping him. One should not get bewildered. Because of his previous activities, he is getting some name, fame or prestige or wealth or health or whatever. But after he enjoys the results of his pious credits, all of them are gone. So one should not unnecessarily get confused and bewildered, seeing that, he is such a bad person, but still he is in such an opulent position. So for me to be in that opulent position, I also have to do some goof up. I also have to do some crime. Because he attained that position by just pushing some different people and then just came like this. I also should do that. So then we are making our new destiny for next life. So he is just enjoying the results of his previous pious activities. Right? Now he is, if now he is not in proper consciousness with his wealth or prestige, etc., then he will degrade later. If he is a bad person, apparently good may happen to him now, but tomorrow he will get the bad result also. But one should not unnecessarily get carried away by seeing that. One should not get a wrong message. That's the point. So a superficial observer might well be confused upon seeing the moral, hard-working man without funds and the degenerate, lazy man is possessing riches. Similarly, a materialistic fool without knowledge of past, present and future is unable to understand the perfect justice of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Have faith, have trust in the perfect justice of Krishna. Apparently, one is in a good position, although he is bad. Apparently, one is in a bad position, although he is so good. But Krishna has done that justice. Without Krishna's sanction, not a blade of grass will move. We say this, but we also have to apply this. Like that. So Krishna is in control. So the only responsibility that lies within us is to act appropriately to the best of our knowledge. With whatever philosophical knowledge and intellectual capacity we have, whatever understanding and realization that we have, we should act to the best of our capacity. We should try to act as best as possible with all our faculties. That's all we can do. And leave everything to Krishna. Right? So you can't just be fighting for justice. Right? Apparently, one very hard worker may, you may feel that he's mistreated. He's not dealt with properly. He's such a good person. Right? One may feel misplaced compassion to such a person. It's good. Empathy is good, definitely. You take a lesson and try not to try not to be the cause of such kind of injustice happening to innocent people. We can say like that. But one should not be overwhelmed by that and then lose one's focus on devotional service. Right? Bharat Maharaj did that. Bharat Maharaj said, such a poor deer. What sin the deer has done? Krishna has kept him in such a condition. Of course, he didn't think like that. Krishna has kept him in such a condition. But he felt himself responsible for the victimized condition of that deer. And he showed compassion. And he himself became victimized by his own compassion. Like that. So Krishna is in control. Right? Whatever a living entity deserves will happen. So have trust on Krishna's perfect justice. Next, 15th, for the time factor. Asya hi hetu hrudaya sthiti samyamanam avyakta jiva mahatam api kalamahu soyam trinabhirakhila pachaye pravritta kalogabhiraraya uttama purushastvam.
You are the cause of the creation, maintenance and destruction of this universe. As time, you regulate the subtle and manifest states of material nature and control every living being. As a threefold wheel of time, you diminish all things by your imperceptible actions, and thus you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm. So as time, you regulate everything, and as time, you diminish everything. So regulation and destruction, these are the functions of time. For example, somebody may be liking the daylight so much. So he wants 24 hours sunlight should be there, right? But time regulates. Evening 6 p.m., sun starts going down. 6:30, it becomes too dark. 7 o'clock, you can't see sun only. You'll see moon somewhere. Regulation. Somebody may like the winter so much. Oh, winter is so nice. It's so cool. Every day morning we get sweets and milk. Once the winter stops and summer begins, nobody will give us sweets and milks. Sharbat they may give. So one may think that let 12 months be winter only. Why this summer and monsoon have to come? No, time regulates. Only 4 months, one season. Maybe 10 days here and there, not more. Right? The construction people may think that why in June only rains will come. We still have some building pending. Let the rain start in August. In 2 months, we'll complete. So one may think like that. But by June 10th, around June 10th, rain will come. That has been the pattern in GEV last several years. So time regulates everything, and time destroys everything. One may think that, oh, my phone is so new now. Camera is functioning. Let the camera function for whatever, rest of its lifetime. But it may not function only. Be detached. Right? So time vanquishes everything. And we may not be able to understand when will this time diminish. The diminution is constantly happening. Every moment, destruction is happening to something or the other. You just keep one apple here. Of course, apple, you can't perceive the destruction only. You keep one guava or orange here. You come tomorrow, sadegao. It will become ripe, overripe. It will decompose, right? After 3-4 days, it may seemingly be there only. But you touch it, lot of fungus will be there. You have to wash your hands. You don't feel like putting it in your mouth. So every moment the destruction is happening already. That is called Nitya Pralaya. There are four types of pralaya. There is naimittika pralaya, atyantika pralaya, then prakritika pralaya and nitya pralaya. So naimittika pralaya is occasional annihilation that happens at the end of day of Brahma. Entire cosmos will be wound up within Garbhodaksai Vishnu's body. Then prakritika pralaya is entire material creation will be wound up within Mahavishnu's body. And there is nitya pralaya. Every single moment, pralaya is happening. Destruction is happening. Things are getting deteriorated. This mic's lifetime is getting reduced. When you say lifetime, so he'll give 1 year warranty or 2 years warranty. As every day progresses, its warranty period is gone. Right? After 2 years, you have to pay and then repair. After 5 years, you may have to replace. Deterioration is constantly happening. So time causes that. Time limits everything. Time regulates everything. And time destroys everything. So these are the... One may not be able to perceive the subtle changes that the time is causing, subtle destruction that the time is causing at every moment. But he can only perceive grossly after some period of time. Now, you just keep watching the whatever fruit there, guava, whatever, custard apple, you see, keep watching it. You don't feel any difference. Ek ghanta dekhega, do ghanta dekhega, teen ghanta dekhega, you get bored. And you'll go and sleep and come back. Tomorrow you see, deterioration has happened. After 2 days you see, then it's totally gone. It's totally decomposed. So like that, you will only see the cumulative result of their growth or destruction. You may not be able to see moment by moment. 16th verse. Tattva puman samadhigam yayashaya viryam. Hare Krishna. Tattva puvan samadhigam yayashasya viryam. Dhatte mahantamiva garbhamamogha viryah. Yo soyam tayanugata atmana andakosham. Haimam sasarja bahira vrinarir upetam.
My dear Lord, the original Purusha avatar Mahavishnu acquires his creative potency from you. Thus, with infallible energy, he impregnates material nature, producing the Mahat Tattva. Then the Mahat Tattva, the amalgamated material energy, endowed with the potency of the Lord, produces from itself the primeval golden egg of the universe, which is covered by various layers of material elements.
So, the creation process, how Mahavishnu creates this world is mentioned. And this verse also proves that Krishna is the source of Mahavishnu. My dear Lord, the original Purushavatar Mahavishnu acquires his creative potency from you. Tattva puman samadhigam yayashasya viryam dhatte. Puman means Mahavishnu, Purushavatara. Samadhigamya, obtaining, yaya, along with material nature, asya viryam, the potential seed. Tattvaha, from you. From you, Mahavishnu has obtained the potency to create this material world. That shows Krishna's superiority over Mahavishnu. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam is once again proved. Ete chamsa kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So that is beautiful verse. Krishna's superiority over Mahavishnu. Just because Krishna has two hands and Mahavishnu has four hands, people will think that Krishna is an incarnation and Vishnu is the source. But it is not so. 17th verse. The source is more relaxed with a flute. Right? The person who is coming from the source is little more equipped officially with so many weapons. Like that. The 17th. Tattastusascha jagatascha bhavan adhisho. Yan maya yottha guna vikriya yopanitan. Arthanjushan abhirshi kapate nalipto. Yen yeswata parihrtad api vibhyatisma.
O Lord, you are the supreme creator of this universe and the ultimate controller of all moving and non-moving living entities. You are Rishikesha, the supreme controller of all sensory activity. And thus you never become contaminated or entangled in the course of your supervision of the infinite sensory activities within the material creation. On the other hand, other living entities, even yogis and philosophers, are disturbed and frightened simply by remembering the material objects that they have supposedly renounced in their pursuit of enlightenment.
So this verse is comparing the Lord and the yogis, where no material object can attract the senses of the Lord. You never become contaminated or entangled in the course of your supervision of infinite illusory affairs. So yesterday also we saw something similar to this. How Lord, although he deals with material energy, he is not entangled by it. He is above material mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, we have seen. Which verse? Second verse, means 8th verse. Yeah, 8th verse, correct. He's beyond. Something similar is mentioned here. On the other hand, other living entities like yogis and philosophers are disturbed and frightened simply by remembering the material objects. Supposedly they have renounced all of them, but by remembering them they again get entangled. So one may enter renounced order, being fearful of some material sense objects. And in the renounced order, he may remember, again he will get little bewildered. But the Lord, he is constantly dealing with matter, he is not at all affected. It's like that. The Supreme Lord Krishna is within the heart of every conditioned soul and guides the living entity in the pursuit and experience of sense gratification. The disappointing results of such activities gradually convince the conditioned soul to reject material life and surrender again to the Lord within his heart. So one of the important impetuses for one's taking shelter of Krishna is a disgust, a disappointment in his dealings with matter. That opportunity is very much available in Kali Yuga, as we have discussed day before yesterday. So one can develop more disgust towards this kingdom of illusion by being in Kali Yuga, because his body is so weak, his intelligence and his strength, physical capacities there are weak, living conditions are so horrible, so he can develop more disgust. But in Satyuga and other yugas, you feel quite comfortable. Oh, it's nice atmosphere. Why should I go back? It's fine. This is also fine here. So one may think like that. If there's a lot of discomfort here, he wants to change the situation. So Krishna is never affected by the futile attempts of the living entities to enjoy this illusory energy. So just like in this material world, living entity wants to exercise his controllership and enjoy, and he gets disgusted and disappointed, he wants to go back to the spiritual world. But Lord is never affected by this atmosphere, material world's atmosphere. Although he comes here 100 times, still he is not affected by it, he is not attached to it. Just like a king is there, king is maintaining the prison house also. In the prison house, so many prisoners are there, criminals are there. They are being tortured by the jail superintendent. Depending on the crime they have done, they are being punished every day in different ways. They are being engaged in such hard work, right? So because so much torture is there in the jail, the prisoner may develop an inclination to go out of the jail by exhibiting some good behavior or whatever. But the king may come and visit the jail sometimes. He sees a lot of suffering is there, people are getting tortured, but he sees it with a neutral eye. He's asakta vivikta sakshine. Things are happening nice, fine. And then he goes back to his palace. He lives there nicely. Right? So he's not affected by the atmosphere of jail. Who is affected by the atmosphere of the jail? One who is living in the jail, the prisoner. Right? Lord is not affected. 18th verse. Smayavalokalavadarshita bhavahari
Bhrumandala prahita saurata mantra saundaihi Patnyastu shodasa sahasramanangabhanair Yasyendriyam vimaditum karanaira vibhya.
Now in the previous verse, how Krishna is not entangled by matter is mentioned. In this 18th verse, how Krishna is beyond the realm of this material sense gratification. Although he is living with so many queens, interacting with so many women, still his senses are not perturbed. Right? And for example, if king goes into the prison cell, he sees so many criminals and so much suffering, he is not affected. If a king goes into the assembly of so many women, right, then there is a possibility of he is getting attracted. But if he is a self-controlled king, he is not attracted there also. Right? Something. Lord's dealings with the queens is mentioned. Read.
My Lord, you are living with 16,000 exquisitely beautiful aristocratic wives. By their irresistible coy and smiling glances and by their lovely arching eyebrows, they send you messages of eager conjugal love. But they are completely unable to disturb the mind and senses of your Lordship.
Smayava loka lava darshita bhavahari. Lava by fractions. Darshita means just take darshan of the feminine attributes of these beautiful queens. Lava darshita. Just slightly see also one might get affected. Something similar to Uddama bhava pishunama laval guhasa vridava loka nihato madanopi asan. Vridava loka means sidelong glances. What will happen if you directly glance? Just by sidelong glances, madanopi, nihato madanopi asan. Even the cupid is captivated completely. Even Shiva, Amadano, he is also captivated completely by the feminine attributes of all these queens. But Krishna is not at all captivated. That is mentioned here.
Bhrumandala prahita saurata mantra saundaihi patnyastu shodasa sahasram.
Patnyastu, all his patnis are shodasa sahasram. 16,000 are there. More than 16,000 are there. Right?
Ananga banair.
Ananga is one who does not have a body. He is Cupid.
Ananga banair. By the arrows of Cupid. Yasyendriyam vimathitum karanaihi na vibhyaha.
So all the feminine attributes of the queens cannot perturb the senses of Krishna in any way. Right? Although they are sending messages of conjugal love. Right?
In the previous verse it was clearly stated that no material object can attract the senses of the Lord.
Yeah, this I have discussed.
But Krishna is sometimes conquered by the love of his devotees. Although Krishna is not conquered by the feminine attributes of these queens, still he stays with them because he is conquered by their love and affection. So, for example, elderly gopis in Vrindavan, they call Krishna and say, you clap your hands or you dance, we'll give you banana. Just for that one banana, Krishna will dance there in front of all these gopas. And all the other gopis will clap, oh Krishna, you are dancing. So he just becomes a puppet in their hands. It's not that he is desirous of that banana, but he wants to reciprocate with the love of this elderly gopis. Similarly, Krishna is not desirous of the feminine beauty of all these queens, but he wants to reciprocate with their affectionate service. So thus neither the gopis of Vrindavan nor the queens of Dwaraka could arouse any enjoying spirit in Krishna. Krishna is a pure brahmachari. So no enjoying spirit. So Durvasmani, once he ate a lot of prasad, and then gopis had to cross the river Yamuna. And Durvasmani said, just tell Yamuna to give way. If I am fasting since long time, then Yamuna should give way to you. You go and tell her. The gopis are smiling and then they went, asked Yamuna, if Durvasmani is fasting, then you give us way. He gave way. They were surprised. Then they went to Krishna. And they wanted to cross the river. Then Krishna told the gopis that if Krishna is a pure brahmachari, then Yamuna will give way to you. Go and tell her. Then gopis told, they were also smiling, oh, Krishna brahmachari. Till now he was with us only. Then gopis went and told, if Krishna is a brahmachari, you give. Then Yamuna gave way. Kya Yamuna, and did she hear properly or not? That's what they were doubting. Then Krishna gave a purport. Although I am spending my time with all of you, I don't have the enjoying spirit. Although Durvasmani must have eaten some 20, 30, 40 kilos of prasad, he does not have the spirit of enjoying or gratifying his tongue by eating all of that. Because you are feeding, he is eating. Like that. So it's all about one's internal attachment towards a sense object, not the external contact. When it comes to the case of such exalted souls, that doesn't mean you should apply it to ourselves and say, externally I may be contacting so and so sense object. You don't know my detachment internally, how much in detachment I am maintaining internally. I mean, that may not be applicable to a struggling sadhaka, but exalted souls can be in touch with sense object, can just apparently enjoy their senses to the maximum possible extent, but internally they may be renounced. He reciprocates the spiritual loving affairs with the gopis and queens simply for their sake. Now if you see, Urvasi proposed to Arjuna. What did Arjuna say? You are like my mother. You are the consort of my forefather. You are dancing in the assembly of my father Indra. How can I enjoy with you? It doesn't suit. You are like my mother. He just offered dandavas and then left. Then she said, you become a eunuch. Right? You don't know how to satisfy a woman who approaches. So if Arjuna could not be captivated by the feminine attributes of Urvasi, whose origin is Naranarayan Rishi, who is the best of all apsaras in the heavenly kingdom, And Arjuna was a human being, right, in this present yuga. So, if Arjuna could not be captivated, how can his master Krishna be captivated by all these queens? That is the question, right? 19th verse. Yes.
Past times where Krishna does become subservient, completely dependent on Radharani's mercy. So how to understand, because this emphasis is that...
Just now no I mentioned, we read from this purport also, he reciprocates the spiritual loving affairs with the gopis and queens. Spiritual loving affairs. There is no material tinge of lust when Krishna is attracted by the gopis or Srimati Radharani. There is absolutely no material lust there. Kaviraj Goswami explains so elaborately. That is like gold and iron. Lust is like iron, love is like gold. So what's happening between Krishna and the gopis is pure gold, love. And in that verse, Uddama Bhava Pishunamadaval Guhasa. You are familiar with that? It comes in the first canto, similar theme. Uddama bhava pishunamala valguhasa vridavaloka nihato madanopiyasan sammuhya chapa majahat pramadottamasta yasyendriyam vimathitum kuhakairna sekuhu. Seeing the... whenever a woman and man would come together, their conjugal association is inspired by material cupid. The material cupid has to shoot his arrows upon this in the hearts of this man and woman, and they come and enjoy the loving affairs. When Krishna and the queens are associating with each other, then material Cupid comes there and he observes that without my involvement, without my shooting an arrow, Krishna and the queens are getting attracted to each other. So what does it mean? Krishna, this Cupid just gives up his bow and he gets frustrated. I have no role to play in this association. He just leaves. So, the conjugal affairs that are happening between Krishna and the gopis and Krishna and the queens are not under the influence of material Cupid. Because he comes there and he gets frustrated. Without my intervention only, they are getting attracted to each other. What am I supposed to do here? He just leaves from there. So material Cupid is not the cause of the conjugal affairs of Krishna. They are pure spiritual affairs. Only love is there, lust is not there. Anything more?
Well, I guess just a particular angle that I'm just trying to understand, that in this verse it's saying he's completely aloof from their attraction. I know I understand it's on the spiritual platform. So for the queens of Dwarka, they cannot attract him. In Vrindavan, it seems that Krishna does become under, and it's spiritual, but he comes under control of the gopis or Radharani.
Yeah, he will come under control of queens also. He can come under control of Arjuna also. He can come under the control of Yudhishthira also, Bhishma also. On spiritual platform.
Voluntarily.
Yeah, Bhishma took a vow. Till Krishna takes up a weapon, I will not give up my determination to kill Arjuna. Then Krishna came under control. Krishna said, I surrender to Bhishma. I will give up my vow, let his vow become true. He just picked up that chariot wheel. On a spiritual platform, Krishna surrenders to the desires of any devotee who is in certain mellow. Not only conjugal bhakta, dasya bhakta also, madhurya bhakta also, or vatsalya bhakta also, or whichever bhakta, sakya bhakta also. He just surrenders. Krishna kills Kamsa. And immediately Sridhama says that, how can you kill Kamsa? Let's have a fight. I often defeat you in Vrindavan, so let's have a fight. And then Krishna fights in the wrestling arena with Sridhama, one of his friends, Gopa boys. And then Sridhama defeats Krishna. Krishna is defeated. Krishna surrenders to every devotee on the spiritual platform. Make sense, Prabhu?
Now in this verse it is demonstrated that the Lord has no desire to enjoy even spiritual sense gratification. Krishna is completed himself. He does not lust after anything material or spiritual. So he has no... Would that be considered spiritual sense gratification when he has intimate pastime with queens?
Where is the line?
It's like the second sentence.
Oh, sorry, I'm reading the next one. Okay, now in this verse it is demonstrated that the Lord has no desire to enjoy spiritual sense gratification. Krishna is complete in himself. He is a reservoir of all pleasure and he does not lust after anything material or spiritual. Now this statement is mentioned in relation to the previous verse. 17th verse says that no material object can attract the senses of the Lord. In this verse, all the queens of Dwaraka, they are manifestations of Krishna's internal potency. They are spiritual entities. Now there is matter in the previous verse. Here spirit is there in this verse. So their matter or spirit, so Krishna is not gratifying his senses. He is just reciprocating with the love of all these spiritual personalities on a spiritual plane. It's not gratification. It is reciprocation. It's not selfishness, selfish enjoyment. It is selfless reciprocation. Getting right? Within that spiritual part also, there is one side of gratification, one side of reciprocation or affection that is there. So that point they are highlighting. So in relation to the previous verse, relative to the previous verse, it is mentioned. 19. Vibhyastavamrita kathodaviha strilokya. Padavaneja sarita shamalani hantum. Anushravam shruti bhirangrijamanga sangaihi. Tirthas tirthadvayam suchisadas. Upasprishanti Vibhyastavam Rutakatho Davahastrilokya Padavane Jasarita Shamalani Hantum Anushravam Shruti Bhirangrijamanga Sangaihi Tirthadvayam suchishadas ta upasprashanti. Together. Vibhyastavam rutakatho davahastrilokya. Padavanejasarita shamalani hantum. Anushravam shrutibhirangrijamanga sangai. Tirthadvayam suchishadas ta upasprashanti. Vibhyastavam rutakatho davahastrilokya. Padavanejasarita shamalani hantum anushravam shrutibhirangrijamanga sangaihi tirthadvayam shuchishadasta upasprishanti vibhyastavamrutakathodavaha strilokya padavanejasarita shamalani hantum anushravam shrutibhirangrijamanga sangaihi tirthadvayam shuchishadasta upasprishanti. So, vibhyastavamrita. So this verse, 19th verse, is speaking about two tirthas. Tirthadvayam. Tirthadvayam. There are two kinds of holy places, holy tirthas. Tirtha literally means water. Tirtham. So in South India, if you go, every temple they want to give some tirtham, give us some tirtham like this. They put some water offered to the Lord. So tirthadvayam. There are two kinds of tirthas. One is Krishna Kathamrit. Second is Krishna Charanamrit. Kathamrit means that river which is filled with Krishna's pastimes and glories. Charanamrit means that river which originates from Krishna's lotus feet, like Ganga, Yamuna, like that. So, vibhyastavamrita kathoda vaha strilokyaha. Vaha means river. Udavaha means rivers that are bearing water. There are so many rivers which are dried up. Not that river. Udavaha. That is river, water-bearing rivers. What is the water-bearing river here? Tava kathamrita. So, the water which is there in that river is the nectarian glories of Krishna. Vibhyaha tava kathamrita vaha trilokya tava kathoda vada vaha trilokya padavaneja saritaha shamalani hantum. Padavane means from bathing the Lord's lotus feet. Ja means that river which is originating from Lord's lotus feet when the water washed his feet. You wash Lord's lotus feet and water comes flows from that. That is also called river. That also flows. So this is one river. Another river is Krishna Katha. So these two are so potent rivers. What is their potency? Shamalani Huntum. The contamination in the hearts of living entities is vanquished. By bathing in the rivers originating from Krishna's lotus feet, by bathing in the river of Krishna Katha, that is describing his glories. Then anushravam shrutibhir angrijam angasangaihi. Anushravam means constantly hearing. Shravanam is hearing, shravam. Anushravam means hearing from bona fide sources, hearing in the parampara. Shrutibhir, with ears. Angrijam. Angrijam means, again, born of Lord's lotus feet. This is referring to the second river. Angasangaihi, by direct physical contact. Right? Rivers are directly in physical contact with the Lord. Then Tirthadvayam Shuchi Sadah Ta Upasprashanti. So one who is Shuchi Sadah means one who is striving for purification. One who is striving for purification will be purified by taking shelter of these two Tirthas, Tirthadvayam. Next, in the purport, Prabhupada quotes Chakravarti Pad and says, one should hear about Krishna by hearing from the spiritual master. Anushravam Guror Uccharanam Anushruyanti. The bona fide spiritual master describes the pastimes, potencies and incarnations of the Lord to his disciple. If the spiritual master is bona fide and if the disciple is sincere and obedient, then the communication between guru and disciple is just like nectar, both for guru and disciple. What is that verse? Tanno bhavan vai bhagavat pradhano mahattam ekanta parayanasya hare rudaram charitam vishuddham susrushatamno vitanota vidvan. Guru should be bhagavat pradhano, shishya should be susrushatamno. These two are important. Eagerness. To the extent we have hunger, to that extent we can digest the food that we eat. If there is no hunger and if you just fill the belly, if you just forcefully eat, there may not be so much benefit. Doctors can confirm this. We can digest the food to the extent we are hungry. Correct, true? Similarly, to the extent we are eager to hear Krishna Katha, to that extent we can assimilate the essence of Krishna Katha. To that extent we can apply it in our lives. Right? So this is what we need to see. One may be sitting in classes, one may be studying for 10 hours in a day, but it has to be done with some faith. It has to be done with some eagerness, not out of force, not to just fill your self-assessment card where you just get tick mark everything. Okay, today 5 hours I read, tick, 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 tick. Means 13 to 5, 150 hours I read in this month. My score is high. But what extent is your eagerness? How much eagerness is there when you are studying, when you are hearing? This month I didn't miss a single class. There are 4 weeks, 4, 5 are 20 classes I attended. So all are full present. I came on time. I stayed till the end. I didn't doze off in the middle. So all these are there. So qualitatively, we need to assess. Quantitatively, the chart will say. So quantity is there, but quality, it's up to us. So sincere disciple. And sincere, is a bona fide spiritual master, and sincere and obedient disciple. Such nectarian speaking and hearing destroys all contamination within the heart of a conditioned soul. The primary contamination being the desire to live without serving Krishna. So this shamalani hantum means the contamination of the soul is vanquished. What is the primary contamination? I don't want to serve Krishna. That feeling is the primary contamination. Disinclination to render service to Krishna and Vaishnavas is the primary contamination that we carry in our hearts. That contamination has to be removed by hearing Krishna Katha. Like that. The other nectar described here is Charanamrit. This we have seen, Yamuna, Ganga, water. So that is how all these devotees prayed, demigods prayed. Sri Badarayani Ruvacha Ityabhistuya Vibudhaihi Sheshasyata Dhritirvaharim Abhyabhashata Govindam Pranamyam Varamashritaha.
Sri Sukhdev Goswami continued, after Brahma, along with Lord Shiva and other demigods, they offered prayers to the Supreme Lord Govinda. Lord Brahma situated himself in the sky and addressed the Lord as follows.
So Krishna is addressing all these demigods. See the last line. Pranamya ambaram ashritaha. Ambaram means sky. Ashritaha means they have taken shelter of the sky. Means they are situated in the sky. All of them, these demigods, they are offering obeisances by being situated on the sky. They didn't come down and stand on the floor of Dwaraka. From the sky only they are offering prayers and offering obeisances. They are demigods, no? Like that. Sri Brahmavacha Bhumer Bharavataraya Puravigna Pita Prabho Tamasma Bhir Aseshatman Tathavaivo Papaditam.
Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, previously we requested you to remove the burden of the earth. O unlimited personality of Godhead, that request has certainly been fulfilled.
So, earlier we have come to you to request you to descend into this world to relieve the burden of the earth. Now, 125 years passed, you have fulfilled that request. Right? We are very happy. Here the Lord is described as Tvam Asmabhir Aseshatman. Aseshatman, or the unlimited personality of Godhead, from whom all plenary expansions of Vishnu emanate. Aseshatma. Asesha means unlimited. Dharmascha sata dharmascha sthapitas satsu satya sandheshu vaitvaya kirtischa dikshu vikshipta Sarvalokamalapaha.
My Lord, you have re-established the principles of religion among pious men who are always firmly bound to the truth. You have also distributed your glories all over the world, and thus the whole world can be purified by hearing about you.
After descending, being obliged by your request, what all you have done? They are saying, Dharmascha sthapitas satsu. You have established dharma, satya sandhesu vaitvaya, and you have established the principle of dharma amongst the people who are satya sandhesu, pious people, who are rooted in truth. And what else you have done? Kirtischa dikshu vikshipta sarvalokamalapaha. You have spread your own glories and fame. You have distributed your glories by coming here. That can completely vanquish the contamination in this world. Sarva loka malapaha. Kirtischa dikshu vikshipta. Vikshipta, disseminated. So when the Lord comes here and then performs some activities, they are not done in a low profile. Right? Devotees will recognize that, hey, Lord came here and then he did this. And then keep discussing, they magnify it and then they spread the glories and all over the place it goes viral. Right, when some celebrity comes to Galtara village, right, can that happen in a low profile? Everybody has this smartphone. They will just click photos and then they'll put on websites and Facebooks and WhatsApp and it just spreads all over the place. And the glory of this place also is increased. Hurry, chief minister came, or who else? Prime minister came. Some king came to a small village. The glories of that village are spread. Similarly, Krishna is the king of the spiritual world. And he came to this material world and entered one of the small balls, material universe. There are unlimited material universes, brahmandas, within this material world. So he entered one of those. And he entered one of the small planets, earth planet. And he performed some pastimes for 125 years. Understand the significance of Krishna's entrance there and understand the insignificance of where he has performed his pastimes. Compared to the spiritual world and the millions of universes surrounding this universe and millions of planets within this universe, Krishna has entered this planet and for 125 years he stayed there. Right? So although this planet, in comparison to the cosmos, it is so insignificant, Krishna had spent a significant amount of time there. That makes this planet very significant. And Krishna's presence there and spreading of Krishna's glories all over the place will purify this world from contamination. Right? So for such a personality to give time here is not a small thing. Right? You understand, Krishna's entrance into this world is not a small thing. So it's like Prime Minister of India or whatever, Prime Minister of America coming into Galtara village and entering one Adivasi's house and then spending 1 hour doing whatever exchanges he had to do. That is so, you cannot understand. It becomes so inconceivable for people. Krishna spending time here is also like that. Right? This universe, this planet that we are living in is so insignificant compared to the kingdom of Goloka there. But Krishna is such a magnanimous master, he gives time to that people also, to us also. Avatirya yador vamshem bibhradrupam anuttamam karmanyuddhama vrittani hitaya jagato krita.
Descending into the dynasty of King Yadu, you have manifested your unique transcendental form, and for the benefit of the entire universe, you have executed magnanimous transcendental activities.
And you have appeared in the Yadu dynasty, Yadu Vamsha. Avatirya Yadu Vamsha Vibhradrupam Anuttamam. Anuttamam means unexiled. There is nothing else more uttam than this. Anuttama. Unexiled. You cannot surpass Krishna in any. In excellence. What is that? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first verse. Radha Prayan Vidhur Jayati. Vidhur Jayati means Krishna surpasses everybody in excellence. Yanite charita nisham manushyah sadhavah kalau srinvatah kirtayantascham tarishyantyanjasatama.
My dear Lord, those pious and saintly persons who in the age of Kali hear about your transcendental activities and also glorify them will easily cross over the darkness of the age.
So, one who hears Krishna Katha is enabled to cross this material world easily. Tarishyanti Anjasa Tamaha. He crosses the darkness very easily. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, many persons are not attracted to the authorized Vedic literatures. And they prefer to listen to useless and whimsical vibrations on the radio, television, newspapers, magazines, etc. Yanna vrajante gavito rachananavada srunvantiye anya vishaya kukathamatighni. Something similar is mentioned here. And they impatiently conclude that the absolute truth is formless. And they actually worship Krishna's illusory energy. If instead people hear directly about Krishna from bona fide sources, they will very easily solve all problems of life. Lord appears within this universe so that people can observe, hear about, and glorify His actual activities. The purpose of Krishna's entrance here is so that people become aware of His existence and become absorbed in His activities. That is the purpose for which Krishna appears. So Krishna appears to benefit people here. It's not that He is coming just to have some fun and retreat. He also is concerned about the welfare of people here. 25th verse. Yaduvam shevatirnasya bhavatah purushottama sharachatam vatiryaya pancha vimsha adhikam prabho.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O my Lord, You have descended into the Yadu dynasty and thus You have spent 125 autumns with Your devotees.
So 125 years passed. Nadhuna dekhila dharam devakarya avaseshitam kulam ca viprashapena nashtaprayam abhuditam tatasvadhama paramam Vishasva yadi manyase salokallokapalanna pahi vaikuntha kinkaran.
My dear Lord, there is nothing remaining at this time for Your Lordship to do on behalf of the demigods. You have already withdrawn Your dynasty by the curse of the Brahmanas. O Lord, You are the basis of everything, and if You so desire, kindly return now to Your own abode in the spiritual world. At the same time, we humbly beg that You always protect us. We are Your humble servants, and on Your behalf, we are managing the universal situation. We, along with our planets and followers, require Your constant protection.
Nadhunate akhila adhara. Akhila adhara is the adhara, basis of everything. He's the protector of everything. So, na adhunate deva karyavaseshitam. There is nothing for you to accomplish further in this world. You have descended to reduce the burden of the earth, and you have accomplished that task, and there is nothing else remaining for you to accomplish on our behalf. So demigods are very humbly presenting this. Kaam ho gaya nikal jao. They are not saying like that. Right? You are akhiladhara. You are the basis of everything. But now that for the purpose for which you have descended has been fulfilled, we are humbly requesting you that if you like, you may please go ahead. Like that. Kulam cha viprashapena nashtaprayam abhut idam. And also your dynasty has been cursed by the sages. Right? So this is the right time. Tata swadhama paramam vishvasya yadi manyase. Sa loka loka palanna pahi vaikuntha kinkaran. And they are also reconfirming their dependence on Krishna. You have come, you have fulfilled our purpose, now you can leave. Right? Work is done. Mission accomplished. They are not saying that. We are constantly dependent on your protection. Your coming now and assisting us in the cosmic management is actually your act of mercy upon us. So, we are obliged to you, and we declare once again that we are dependent on you. When we are saying that you go back, that doesn't mean we don't want you anymore. We are constantly dependent on you. So that is clearly mentioned. So Krishna doesn't feel offended when a devotee reminds him of his duty. For example, when Narada Muni came to Krishna, when Krishna was departing, Krishna was about to kill Keshi and Vyoma. In that context, Narada Muni comes and says, you have stayed for sufficient time in Vrindavan. Now it is the time for you to shift to Mathura. You have to give your association there also. I have already told Kamsa that you are the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Right? He is making plans to take from you here. I have already arranged everything. Just be ready to go there. So Narada Muni tells Krishna. And so Krishna doesn't feel bad. Right? So devotees come and remind him. Sometimes even senior people also may get absorbed in doing something. Junior people have to come and remind. Prabhu, I think time ho gaya, aajao. Time ho gaya, jao. So sab bolna padta hai. So, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Avadharitam Etanme, Yadatta Vibhudeshwara, Kritam Vah Karyama Akhilam, Bhumer Bharo Vatirita.
The Supreme Lord said, O Lord of the demigods, Brahma, I understand your prayers and request. Having removed the burden of the earth, I have executed everything that was required on your behalf.
Taditam yadavakulam virya shaurya shiro shriyodhatam lokam jigrikshad ruddhamme velayeva maharnavah.
That very Yadava dynasty in which I appeared became greatly magnified in opulence, especially in their physical strength and courage, to the extent that they threatened to devour the whole world. Therefore, I have stopped them, just as the shore holds back the great ocean.
So, just by being in Krishna's family, the Yadus have become so powerful. And Krishna had to hold them. Just like the shore holds the ocean. Ocean is so powerful. Ocean, when it comes out, it can inundate all the buildings on the shore. It can inundate the entire city. But the shore of the ocean holds the ocean back. You cannot come beyond me. Relax there only. Similarly, because of Krishna's presence, all these powerful people are under control. A strong leader will control his followers. Followers may sometimes become very powerful and potent. And they themselves can perform so many things. But a strong leader will control them, keep all of them together. Otherwise, each of them can become their independent leaders and then something else can happen. But a strong leader will limit, will control them, will keep them under one umbrella. Like that. So, because of Krishna's presence, the strength and prowess of Yadus is not revealed, or it's not coming out, right? So it's always important and beneficial for one to be under the protection of a able leader who can control our upsurge of our emotions to perform and to become more prominent, right? Otherwise, if one thinks that, why is he limiting me? Why is he not allowing me to come out of this zone? Why is he controlling me? Why is he instructing me to maintain a low profile? Right? If one has these kinds of doubts, and if one desires to become prominent and to come out of the protected zone of a controller, a leader, then not necessary that he can be safe. Just like a mother controls the child, you be in the house only. You cannot go out and play. You cannot go out because the climate is very horrible. You may become sick or whatever. And mother may not have time to explain all these things to the child. And the child may not have the intelligence to understand the concerns of the mother. But what apparently happens is, mother instructs, orders the child, don't come out of the house without my order. Stay in the house only. Then mother is the leader, limiting the child, controlling the child. So if the child listens to the mother, he is protected. But if the child doesn't listen to the mother, why is she always controlling me? She doesn't know. I want to play. He just goes out and then plays in hot sun. He becomes sick and comes back. Who will take care? Mother only will take care. He has to surrender. So why to trouble mother by engaging her in that menial service of taking care of the sick child? Let her take care of healthy child. Let her take care of the healthy child. So like that. Just like the shore holds back the great ocean, Krishna is holding back the prowess of Yadus. So Yadus are glorified. Aho alam shlaghyatamam yadoh kulam. Aho alam dhanyatamam madhorvanam. This verse comes, right? Yadesha pumsa rishabha striyapati. So like that one verse comes. All the Hastinapur ladies glorify the dynasty of Yadus and the Mathura kingdom. Because Krishna is present there. Yadyasam hritya driptanam yadunam vipulam kulam gantasmyanena lokoyam udvelana vinankshyati.
If I were to leave this world without withdrawing the overly proud members of the Yadu dynasty, the whole world would be destroyed by the deluge of their unlimited expansion.
The whole world will be destroyed by the deluge of their unlimited expansion. Yadus are already very powerful. Just as a tidal wave overwhelms the boundary of the shore and wreaks havoc on innocent people, similarly, there was imminent danger that the powerful Yadu dynasty might expand beyond all boundaries of social and political control. So there are two issues here. Some of the Yadus were becoming whimsical and proud of their connection with Krishna. So they are becoming very powerful and they becoming very proud. So Krishna did not want their pride to disturb this society. So when we are in relation with a great personality, a celebrity or whatever, so that induces some pride. For example, somebody serving the deity so closely, he'll think that he's the deity. Right? I am serving the deities, people should respect me as if I am the deity. Right? He starts accepting worship from them. So this kind of tendencies may be there. So when somebody is serving sannyasi, Maharaj, he may think that I am Maharaj. When somebody is the personal secretary of the king, he will think that I am the king. Right? Just by being in close connection with a great personality, one may think that I also have become great. So that happened with Yadus, some Yadus. But another more confidential reason is because of their intense love for Krishna, some of these Yadus will feel intense separation from Krishna when Krishna departs. And as soon as the demigods came and informed Krishna that, Krishna, this is time for you to depart from this world, Krishna's immediate concern was, what will happen to Yadus? Yeah, I am ready for departure. I have fulfilled all your responsibilities. I can leave now. But I cannot leaving these Yadus. First, they have to leave before me. Right? He became immediately concerned with them. So even just winding up his pastimes also, he is exhibiting some responsibility towards this world. That is Krishna's concern. Kya farak padta hai? Krishna just leaves here and then goes to spiritual world and continues to enjoy with his eternal associates. No. Krishna is concerned about the material world also. That's why he is a leader. So these Yadus, they feel intense separation from Krishna, and if Krishna departs, and out of their separation they may even trample this whole earth. Right? In separation one may become mad and then he will just throw everything here and there. They may cause some trouble to the people. So Krishna did not want that to happen. So because of that, Yadus are actually a great burden on the earth. One, considering their pride. Second, considering their feelings of separation. Both are there. So Yadus are not actually the burden. Prabhupada writes in the third canto, there is burden of love, burden of beast. So the loving associates of Krishna can never be a burden on the earth. But here the problem is the whimsical tendencies of some Yadus and also the feelings of separation of many Yadus. Okay, next.
Idanim nasha arabdha
kulasya dvijashapaja
yasyami bhavanam brahman etadante tavanagha.
Now due to the Brahmana's curse, the annihilation of my family has already begun. O sinless Brahma, when this annihilation is finished and I am en route to Vaikuntha, I will pay a small visit to your abode.
So now I'll finish this Yadu dynasty. Because after Krishna disappears, no one can annihilate the Yadu dynasty. Only Krishna can do it. So Yadus are so powerful as Krishna, that no one can dare to annihilate them. So Krishna says, I will dispatch them and then I will also come. And when I'm coming, I'll visit your abode. Right? When I'm leaving Galtare, I'll go, come to the Gram Sarpanch or whatever. Hi, hello, and then I'll move ahead. Okay. Actually, Yadus were just being withdrawn from our conditioned vision. It's not that the eternal associates of Krishna can be vanquished. Right? Yadu dynasty entered into the hidden or confidential Dwaraka in the spiritual world, which is not manifested in the earthly planet. That's what has happened. So we'll take a break. You're slow, fast, normal, tolerable speed. Hare Krishna. Text number 32. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Ityukto Lokanathena. Svayambhu Pranipatyatam. Sahadeva Ganer Devaha. Svadhama Samapadyatam.
Sri Sukhdeva Goswami said, thus addressed by the Lord of the universe, the self-born Brahma fell down in obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Surrounded by all the demigods, the great Brahma then returned to his personal abode.
Now it says that they fell down to offer obeisances. Athatasya mahotpatan dvaravatyan samuthitan vilokya bhagavanah Yaduvriddhan samagatan.
Thereafter, the personality of God had observed that the tremendous disturbances were taking place in the holy city of Dwarka. Thus, the Lord spoke to the assembled senior members of the Yadu dynasty as follows.
So, there were so many natural calamities in Dwarka at that time. So, Krishna called for a meeting. Right? Vriddhan, Yaduvriddhan samagatan. So actually in the presence of Krishna, there can be no natural calamities. Even in a place where a saintly person is living, there can be no natural disturbances. How can there be natural disturbances in a place where the leader of saintly persons or the master or the worshipable object of saintly persons is living? So Krishna, by his own illusory potency, has created these natural disturbances. That's why he called for a meeting. So even in Shamantaka episode also, Krishna created such natural disturbances and made people feel that because of Akrura's absence, these are happening. So Krishna is saying, Sri Bhagavan Vacha Ete Vaisu Mahotpata Vyuttisthantiha Sarvata Shapaschana kulasyasid Brahmanebhyo duratyayaham.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, our dynasty has been cursed by the Brahmanas. Such a curse is impossible to counteract, and thus great disturbances are appearing everywhere around us.
So these disturbances are happening only because of the curse of Brahmanas. So Krishna said, he proposed a solution. Navatsaryam navastavyam ihasmabhir jijivishubhir ayan aryaka prabhasam sumahatpunyam yasyamo jaiva machiram.
My dear respected elders, we must not remain any longer in this place if we wish to keep our lives intact. Let us go this very day to the most pious place, Prabhasa. We have no time to delay.
So let's go to Prabhasa Kshetra and do some rituals there for protection. So amongst the Yadus, this is one of the crucial purports for understanding this Moshala Leela, very beautifully written. So many demigods also came to take place in Krishna's pastimes. They became some of the Yadus. So whenever the demigods go and seek Krishna's help in their cosmic management, Krishna will also engage them in some service. Okay, I'll come to rectify the situation. You should play this role. So when all the demigods went before Ramavatar, to Lord Vishnu, Vishnu said, you should all become monkeys, then I'll come. And some of the demigods, when they went before Krishna avatar, so Krishna told them, you all should become Yadus, then I'll come. So Yadu, Andhaka, Boja, Vrishni, so in those dynasties you have to take birth. So when the Lord has completed his earthly pastimes, he actually wanted the demigods to go back and resume their services. Because Dwarka is the dham of Krishna. whoever leaves their bodies in Dwaraka, they will go back to Godhead. But some of these demigods, they are not qualified to go back to Godhead. They still have some services left here. Right? They are not ready for going back to Godhead. So Krishna, what he did? Let's go to Prabhasakshetra and bewildered the demigods. So demigods came out of Prabhasakshetra, out of Dwaraka, and came to Prabhasakshetra, and they fought amongst themselves and they left. So such an inauspicious, ghastly destruction of Yadu dynasty cannot happen within Dwaraka. So Krishna arranged for that to happen in Prabhasakshetra. And Krishna arranged for the death, apparent death, of all these demigod Yadus outside Dwaraka, so that they don't get liberated from this material world. They are still in this material world to resume and continue their services. Yeah, that is Krishna's master plan. So, next, Dwaraka is Paramamangala, the most auspicious place. Not even an imitation of inauspiciousness can take place there. Actually, Krishna's pastime of removing Yadu dynasty is ultimately auspicious. But since it outwardly appeared inauspicious, Krishna did not want that to take place in Dwaraka. And more details of this annihilation thing that is mentioned in third canto, Uddhava, when he speaks to Vidura, there also he gives certain details about Moshala Leela, how Yadus came out and fought amongst themselves. All that is mentioned. So the demigod portions of the Yadus came out to Prabhasakshetra. And after they fought amongst themselves and they left their roles as Yadus and resumed demigod roles, what happened was Krishna, he was sitting at the base of a pipala tree and then he was just lying there. Then at a place named Veera Prabhanjana Matha. Currently, if you go to that Prabhasakshetra, which is now in Gujarat, in a place called, it comes in the purport somewhere, Junagar. So that is the place where Prabhasakshetra was there. So at that place, Krishna was lying under a pipala tree. And a place little closer is Veera Prabhanjana Mat. That is the place where Jara threw his arrow. And there is a background to it. This Jara was Bhrugumuni. So once Bhrugumuni, in the 10th canto, one of the last chapters, you will get this pastime, where Bhrugumuni would go to all the three prominent deities in this world to test them, who is greater. Right? He would go and disrespect Brahma by not offering obeisances to him. And he will go to Shiva and then chastise him. Oh, you are unclean, like that. Then he will go to Vishnu and then commits a physical offense by kicking him on his chest. Right? So Bhrigu did that offense. To purify himself of that offense, he had to become a hunter. He had to take birth as a low-born hunter. So he was hunting and he shot an arrow. That arrow pierced the lotus foot of Krishna. So actually, no material arrow can pierce the transcendental body of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna, for the vision of this material world, he left a material body to confuse people. And he did it through the medium of Bhrigu. So apparently, to the outside world, to the materialistic vision, Krishna died because of the arrow of Jara. And Krishna, the Yadu dynasty was annihilated because of the curse of Gandhari and fighting amongst themselves. But internally what is happening is all this. So Krishna wanted to separate the demigods from the eternal Yadus. Krishna did not want the Moshala Leela to take place in Dwaraka. He has to come out. And Krishna wants to leave a material body apparently to these people, demoniac people, to confuse them. But devotees will never misunderstand it. Devasya maya sprishta echanya dasadasrita brahmyate dhirna tadvakyer atmanyuptatmanoharo. There could be a lot of confusion and chaos in the understanding of people in general, but devotees will never get bewildered. So Jara is actually a devotee, Bhrigu. So to please his devotee Bhrigu and to confuse the demons, the Lord manifested his Moshala Leela. It's an illusory pastime. Lord did not appear in the womb of his mother. Rather, by his inconceivable power, he descended into the maternity room. To bewilder the non-devotees, the Lord created an illusory body out of his material energy, while simultaneously remaining personally in his own Satchidananda body. And thus he manifested the downfall of an illusory material form. Okay. So there is a place called Bhrugutirtha also. 36th verse. I also heard, but I am not sure. Some say it is Mayavadic story. But Bhagavatam says it is Bhrugu. I don't have any reference for that. Bona fide reference. Yatrasnatva dakshashapad grihito yakshmano durat vimuktah kilbishat sadyo bheje bhuyah kalodayam.
Once the moon was afflicted with consumption because of the curse of Daksha. But just by taking bath at Prabhas Kshetra, the moon was immediately freed from his sinful reaction and again resumed the waxing of his phases.
So Krishna, while encouraging all the Yadus to go to Prabhas Kshetra, he is giving some glories of Prabhas Kshetra, how moon was benefited.
Vayam chatasmin aplutya tarpayitva pitrun shuran bhojayitva shito upran nana gunavatandhasam teshudana nipatreshu shraddhayoptva mahantivai vrijinani tarishyamo danairnaubhir ivarnavam.
By bathing at Prabhakshetra, by offering sacrifice there to placate the forefathers and demigods, by feeding the worshipable Brahmanas with various delicious foodstuffs, and by bestowing opulent gifts upon them as the most suitable candidates for charity, we will certainly cross over these terrible dangers through such acts of charity, just as one can cross over a great ocean in a suitable boat.
So further glories. Sri Shuka Uvacha Yevam Bhagavata Dishta Yadavah Kurunandana Gantam Kratadhyastirtham Syandanan Samayujujan.
Shukdev Goswami said, O favorite son of the Kurus, thus advised by the personality of Godhead, the Yadavas made up their minds to go to that holy place, Prabhashetra, and thus yoked their horses to their chariots.
Tannirikshyodhavo Rajan Shritva Bhava Bhagavato Ditam Drishtvarishtani Ghorani Nityam Krishnam Anuvrataha Vivikta Upasangamya Jagatam Ishvareshwaram Pranamya Sirasa Padau Pranjalistama Bhashata.
My dear King, Uddhava was a constantly faithful follower of Lord Krishna. Upon seeing the imminent departure of the Yadavas, hearing from them of the Lord's instructions, and taking note of the fearful omens, he approached the personality of Godhead in a private place. He bowed down with his head at the lotus feet of the Supreme Controller of the universe, and with folded hands addressed him as follows.
Now Uddhava came to Krishna. Tan niriksha Uddhavo Rajan Shritva Bhagavato Ditam. Uddhava has heard this announcement that Krishna has made. Krishna called all the Yaduvriddhan and then spoke that, oh, the sages have cursed us, we should go to Prabhas Kshetra and then purify ourselves of all these curses by performing some rituals, etc., he said. So Yadus were preparing themselves to depart. So Uddhava came there. Shrutva Bhagavato Ditam Drishtva Rishtani Ghorani Nityam Krishnam Anuvrataha. So Uddhava could foresee the ghora, the ghastly disappearance of Yadus. Arishta. Arishta means unwanted thing, inauspicious thing. So Nityam Krishnam Anuvrataha. What is the glory of Uddhava? He's a faithful follower of Krishna, constant follower of Krishna. Vivikta upasangamya jagatam ishvarishvaram pranamya charasa pado. He went and then offered dandavats like this in this chapter, in this cover page. Pranjalistama bhashata. With folded hands, he started speaking to Krishna. So, this beautiful purport about Krishna's pastimes. The great disasters apparently occurring in Dwaraka were an external show created by the Lord to facilitate his pastimes. We can understand the pastimes of Krishna only by hearing from recognized acharyas. So apparently, if you just read the verses and translations only, the full message, full picture may not be clear. We have to read from the purports, acharya's comments also. The Lord is not a mundane historical figure, and his activities cannot be confined with the tiny, limited material logic. Krishna's pastimes are an exhibition of his achincha shakti, or inconceivable potency, which functions according to higher spiritual laws, unknown to the blind conditioned souls and their petty material logic. Now Uddhava is expressing his feelings of separation. Shri Uddhava uvacha, Deva Devesha Yogesha, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Samhrityaitat Kulam Nunam, Lokam Santyakshate Bhavan, Viprashapam Samarthopi, Pratyahan Nayadishvaraha.
Sri Uddhava said, O my Lord, O Supreme God among all the demigods, real piety is invoked simply by hearing and chanting your transcendental glories. My Lord, it appears that you will now withdraw your dynasty, and thus you yourself will finally give up your pastimes within this universe. You are the supreme controller and the master of all mystic power. But although you are fully capable of counteracting the Brahmana's curse against your dynasty, you are not doing so, and your disappearance is imminent.
Deva Devesha Yogesha Punya Shravana Kirtana. Oh Lord, you are the God of all gods, Deva Devesha. Yogesha, you are the master of all mystic powers. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Just by hearing your glories, we become so pious and purified of all contamination. So he says, Samhrityaitat Kulam Nunam Lokam Santyakshate Bhavan. I am able to foresee that you are about to annihilate your dynasty, or your dynasty is getting annihilated very soon. And Viprashapam, because of the curse of Brahmanas, apparently, but what's happening is, although you are capable of relieving your dynasty from this Viprashapa, you are not doing so. Samarthopi, Samartha means he is saksham, he is having the capacity to nullify this curse. Even sages would not feel bad if Krishna relieves the Yadus from this curse. Or Krishna is so expert that he could have avoided this curse also. But Krishna allowed that to happen. Samarthopi. Pratyahanna Yadishwaraha. Although you are the supreme controller, you have the capacity to stop this mishap, still you are not stopping it. So thus Krishna bewildered the demoniac people, materialistic people, to think that Krishna helplessly departed from this world. Krishna's family and dynasty helplessly was annihilated because of the curse of the sages, because of the curse of Gandhari, because of the injustice done by Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra by being partial to Pandavas. These are the explanations given by materialistic people. So Krishna made them believe, oh, that is what you want to believe? Continue to believe. My devotees will not get bewildered. Devasya maya sprishta ye chanya dasad ashrita. Devotees will not get bewildered. Uddhava did not get bewildered. Uddhava is not feeling pity on Krishna. Krishna, you are helplessly going away because you can't do anything against this Brahmana's curse. Samarthopi, you are having the capacity to rectify this curse, to relieve your family members from this curse, but you are not doing it. You are Isha, you are Deva Devesha Jagan Nivasa, Deva Devesha Yogesha Punya Sravana Kirtana. So still you are not doing it. So we should not be carried away by the apparent events that happen, that may sometimes show that Krishna is not capable or devotees are not capable, like that. So one should understand that there must be some purpose, right? You know, like superior Vaishnava, he could have stopped something to happen. He could have spoken something. He could have given a correction, but he is not giving that correction. Why he is not giving? There must be some deeper reason. अरे कुछ बोला नहीं है इतना चल रहा है इधर क्या साइलेंट क्यों सो वन मे गेट बिविल्डर्ड लाइक दैट सो देर मस्ट बी अ डिफरेंट पर्पस राइट सो एज प्रीवियसली मैंशन कृष्णस ओन डायनेस्टी कैन नेवर बी डिस्ट्रॉयड संभृत्य मीन्स कृष्ण वॉज टेकिंग द यादवस विथ हिम एज ही लेफ्ट दिस मटीरियल वर्ल्ड सो पर्पोट ऑल्सो सेज देव देव मीन्स सुप्रीम गॉड अमंगस्ट ऑल गॉड्स ही सॉल्व ऑल द प्रॉब्लम्स ऑफ द डेमी गॉड्स Yogesha means revealed his beautiful transcendental form to everyone, to his pure devotees. Janmartya lelo paikam swayoga. Then Punya Shravana Kirtana, because he exhibited his human-like pastimes, activities, the Lord simultaneously stimulated the writing of innumerable Vedic scriptures about his pastimes. When Krishna performed his pastimes and left, so many people have penned them down. They have written so many literatures based on Krishna's activities. That spreads positivity in the ether. That spreads Krishna's glories. He inspired so many poets to compose poetry based on his activities. Jayadeva Goswami and so many other acharyas are there. Having ensured the transcendental bliss and liberation of all of his devotees, even those who would be born in the future, Krishna decided the time had come for him to leave this material universe. What is the ninth canto verse? Kalau janishyamananam dukkha shoka tamonudam anugrahaya bhaktanam supunyat vidanodyasaha. So to show his mercy towards the future devotees, Krishna has performed all these pastimes. 43. Naham tavangri kamalam kshanardham api keshava tyaktum samutsahe natha swadhamanayamam api.
O Lord Keshava, my dear Master, I cannot tolerate giving up your lotus feet even for a fraction of a moment. I urge you to take me along with you to your own abode.
Now, after summarizing what has happened, he's expressing his feeling of separation. Hey, I understand no one can interfere with your will. Although you are able to avoid this, you are not avoiding this. Means you have decided. This has to happen. So, surrender also includes accepting the will of Krishna as it is coming, although it is extremely difficult for one's heart to accept. So, on one side, surrender is not just doing the service that is given to us. Okay, whatever seva is given to me, I will do it. Yeah, that is definitely a part of surrender. But there are some events that devotee does not want to see. Still, he is forced to see by the Lord. Because this is Lord's will. Lord had sanctioned this. Let me just accept this. Like that. So Uddhava did not say a single word. Please avoid this. You can avoid this. But he has agreed. Yeah. But I have accepted your will as it is. Now you accept my request. Let me come with you. I also have to come along with you. Naham tavanghri kamalam kshanardham api keshava. Kshana ardham. I cannot stay away from your lotus feet even for half a moment. Kshana ardham api keshava. Then, tyaktum samutsahe natha swadhama nayamam api. So, I also want to come along with you to your abode. because I cannot stay in separation from you even for half a moment. Even he says, Arjuna says,
Yasya kshanaviyogena loko hyapriya darshanaha uktena rahito hyesha mritakah prochyate yatha.
A moment of separation from Krishna would render all the universes void, making them appear like dead bodies without life. That is the extent to which a devotee feels separation from Krishna.
So Uddhava is having similar feelings now. Uddhava understood that Krishna was going to withdraw the Yadu dynasty, and thus he begged the Lord to take him along with him to the Lord's abode.
So Krishna is the personality of Godhead and can do whatever he likes, but the devotee begs the Lord for a chance to serve him.
So when Uddhava said that I want to come along with you, he is not desiring Salokya Mukti or Samipya Mukti or Sarupya Mukti or Sarishti Mukti, definitely not Sayujya Mukti. He is not desirous of any liberation. He is desirous of service to Krishna.
I want to serve you. If you go away from here and if I remain here, how can I serve you? I want to continue my service.
So that is the impetus behind Uddhava's special request.
If you stay here, I will be here continuing to serve you. If you don't stay here, why should I stay here without serving you? That is his impetus.
So apparently one request by a devotee and by a pure devotee and a mixed devotee may seem the same. But the motive or the drive behind such a request is different. In the case of a pure devotee, he is looking for only service.
So Dwaraka and Mathura, where is it? Although the Lord manifests within the material world his various abodes, such as Vrindavan, Dwaraka and Mathura, and although these are certainly non-different from the counterparts in the spiritual world, the most advanced devotees, overwhelmed with desire to personally serve the Lord, are very eager to go to the Lord's original spiritual planet.
Service here and there, both are same. For example, we have Anantacharya in the South India. So he says, once he was bitten by a snake and all the devotees were worried. He said, oh, you should take some medicine, otherwise the poison will spread throughout your body. It may cause some harm to you. You may become sick or you may die. So please take some medicine. Anantacharya says, hey, I'm busy. I'm collecting flowers for garlands of Balaji. So I cannot take medicine. I don't want to take medicine. The devotees are so worried, they went to Balaji and complained, the deity. He said, Balaji, we told Anantacharya to take medicine, but he's not taking any medicine. He was bitten by a snake. Then Balaji personally requested Anantacharya, Anantacharya, please take medicine. Otherwise, poison will spread throughout your body and you may die. Right? You should take medicine. Then Anantacharya said, my dear Lord, what medicine are you talking about? If you are talking about, what poison are you talking about? If you are talking about the poison of lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, and illusion within my heart, then, and if that poison is more powerful than the poison injected by the snake, I will not die. And if the poison injected by the snake is more powerful than the poison of anarthas within me, then I will die. So in either case, whether I die or not die, I don't lose anything. Because if I don't die, if my anarthas are more powerful than the poison of the snake, and if I don't die, I can take bath in Swami Pushkarani and then collect flowers and then worship you in the form of Balaji deity. And if the poison of the snake is more powerful than the power of my anarthas, I will die and I will take bath in Viraja River and serve you in Vaikuntha. So my job profile will not change. My service to you will not change. Why should I unnecessarily waste my time in taking this medicine? So by Balaji's mercy, Anantacharya did not die. But devotee is looking forward to render only service, whether in the material world or in the spiritual world. He doesn't discriminate the position. Here Uddhava is saying that it's not that I am
not inclined to stay in this material world if that is needed, if that is your wish, if that is your desire. I don't mind. But I want service to you. I will miss you. Right? I will be in intense separation from you if you leave. I want to serve you. That's why I want you to take me to the spiritual world along with you, so that I can serve you there. So after some time you will see that Krishna will come up with a plan that you can be in the material world, still serve me. You need not come back to me. You can come back to me after some time. I have some service here, which you have to execute in my absence. That is how Krishna engages him. So, now it is Lord Krishna himself who awarded pious living entities birth in Brahmanical families, and then Krishna further awarded them the potency to curse the dynasty. So, one may question that, can't Krishna protect his own family? Yes, he can protect. So, where did the Brahmanas get the power to curse? From Krishna only. Where did the Brahmanas get the fortune of taking birth in Brahmanical families? It's Krishna's sanction only. It's only because of Krishna's sanction that all these sages acquired that potency, acquired that birth, acquired the necessary prowess to curse Yadus. And it's only by Krishna's sanction that that curse is getting executed. Right? And Krishna approved that curse, and that curse need not be removed. So that curse will happen, and Krishna is happy executing it, sanctioning it. So that Uddhava could understand. Next. Tava vikriditam Krishna Nidam paramamangalam karnapiyushamasadhyam jajantyan anyaspruham janaha tava vikriditam Krishna Nidam paramamangalam karnapiyushamasadhyam
Oh my dear Krishna, your pastimes are supremely auspicious for mankind and are an intoxicating beverage for the ears. Tasting such pastimes, people forget their desires for other things.
He glorifies the activities of Krishna. Tava vikriditam Krishna ranam paramamangalam. Paramamangalam means most auspicious. What is most auspicious for the living entities in this world? Krishna has come here and performed pastimes. So, karna piyusham asadhya, by hearing the descriptions of those pastimes, which act like piyusham, nectar for ears. Nectar for ears. Karna piyusham asadhya, chajanti anyaspraham janaha. Once one develops some taste to hear Krishna katha, anyaspraha. He is not at all bothered to hear about so many other stupid things of this material world. He develops such deep disinterest towards other things. Yat shrinvato apaiti aratir vitrishna sattvam cha shuddhyatya chirena pumsah bhaktir harau tat purushecha sakhyam tadevaharam vadamanyasecha. He says, yat shrinvato apaiti aratir vitrishna, the distaste for hearing Krishna Katha, the apathy for hearing Krishna Katha will be vanquished. And the taste for enjoying on a material plane, that also will vanquish. And the friendship with devotees will increase, the bhakti for devotees, bhakti for the Lord will increase. Like that, Krishna Katha has so many benefits, as mentioned by Parikshit Maharaj in the 10th canto. Anyaspraham means desires for things other than Krishna. Anyabhilashita sunyam, you know, right? Because on the spiritual platform, the pure soul thinks only of Krishna's pleasure and Krishna's service. Therefore, a pure devotee can never give up Krishna even for a moment, even for half a moment. Although for Krishna's pleasure, he can give up the entire universe. Right? So, Uddhava's intense feelings of separation are associated with his desires to serve Krishna. So that is his impetus. No other personal desires were there. no anyasprahaam.
Shayyasanatanasthanam snanakridasanadishu katham tvam priyamatmanam vayam bhaktastyajemahi shayyasanatanasthanam snanakridasanadishu katham tvam priyamatmanam vayam bhaktastyajemahi.
My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Soul and thus you are the most dear to us. We are your devotees and how can we possibly reject you or live without you even for a moment? Whether we are lying down, sitting, walking, standing, bathing, enjoying recreation, eating or doing anything else, we are constantly engaged in your service.
So this verse is a beautiful verse that describes moment-to-moment service. Shayana. Shayya means lying down. Asana, sitting. Atana, walking. Shayyasana, atana, sthana means standing. Snana, kridasana adishu. Snana is bathing. Krida means whatever, recreation, playing, entertainment. Asana means eating. Adishu, many other activities. So many activities a human being will perform throughout the day. In all these activities, katham tvam priyamatmanam vayam bhaktas tyajemahi. In all these activities, while performing all these activities, we can never forget you. We are constantly engaged in your remembrance and in your service. So when a devotee, whether he is lying down or sitting or walking or eating or doing whatever, that is in connection with Krishna's service. All his even regular duties in his day are centered around Krishna's service. Right? Vayam bhaktah tyajemahi. So thus you are most dear to us. Most dear is priyam atmanam. Katham tvam priyam atmanam vayam bhaktah tyajemahi. So every moment is engaged in Krishna's service. Apparently he may be doing his own personal duties of bathing, sitting, eating, etc. That he is doing only for Krishna's service. Can someone open that verse? Uddhava goes to the gopis, 10th canto, 47th chapter. Somewhere in the later verses it comes. Correct. Yadohane, avahane, trishing, mathanopalepa, praying kenkanaka rujira, arbha. Gayanti chena manurakta dhiyo shrukanthyo dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayanaha. Right, when they are churning milk or taking care of crying babies or threshing rice or doing whatever, so many household duties ladies do, traditional ladies do in the villages like Vrindavan. So while doing all those activities, they are just urukrama chitta yanaha. Their chitta, their consciousness is constantly hovering over the thoughts of Krishna. Right? Dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chitta yanaha. Dhanya, that is the greatest fortune. The greatest fortune is to constantly remember Krishna, to constantly serve Krishna, although apparently they may be doing so many other regular duties that all other people do. So, purport. One should be constantly engaged in the service of Krishna. By hearing about Krishna and by serving Him, we can give up the illusion of trying to enjoy something separately from the Supreme Lord. So when there is a break in our remembrance of Krishna, when there is a break in our service to Krishna, then we will serve Krishna only in the form of Maya. We are constantly engaged, no doubt, either in the service of Krishna or in the service of Maya. Constant engagement is guaranteed. So if we neglect such hearing and serving, our minds will become bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. And seeing the world as separate from Krishna, we will take it as a place meant for own sense gratification. any object, if we don't see it in connection with Krishna's service, we will definitely see it as an object for one sense gratification. We will see it separate from Krishna. Only two visions are possible. Either seeing it as an object that can be utilized in service for Krishna or utilized in someone else's service. Right? The second case is Maya. First case is Krishna consciousness. Like that. So, this gross ignorance brings nothing but trouble to the living entity. Okay. Now you see Uddhava, even when he is a small child, third canto, Maitreya Muni says, not Maitreya Muni, Sukadeva Goswami only says, Kalena Jarasangataha, Bhartuh Padavanusmaran. What is that verse? Sakatham Sevaya Tasya Kalena Jarasangataha, Prishto Vartam Pratibhruyat Bhartuh Padavanusmaran. So when Vidura asked Uddhava, please speak about Krishna, although Uddhava is so old at that time, still his remembrance of Krishna's activities was so intact, he just immediately went into a trance. And for a muhurta, he was in trance remembering Krishna. After a muhurta, he came out and then he saw, and then he started speaking Krishna book. Right from Krishna's birth till Maushala Leela, he just summarized all 10th canto pastimes in 2-3 chapters. You remember? 3rd canto, 1st, 2nd, 3rd chapters. 2nd and 3rd mainly. And before that also it comes. Yaha pancha hayano, that one verse comes, where it is said that Uddhava, even when he is a 5-year-old boy, he was just playing with dolls of Krishna. He was worshipping Krishna. Right? He was absorbed in Krishna's worship so much so that when his mother calls him for breakfast, he would not come. Calls him for breakfast, not even lunch. Means his worship starts so early in the morning. So children get up so late and then they take bath, they take, first they eat food, then they start playing. But his play with Krishna's dolls will start so early in the morning that he would not even come for breakfast also. So that is Uddhava's absorption. So not only constantly in a day, constantly from beginning of his life till the end of his life, he is absorbed in Krishna. So that is one beautiful attribute of Uddhava. Uddhava is a wonderful character in Bhagavatam, who is described in the first canto, no, third canto, 10th canto, and 11th canto, quite elaborately. Tvayopa bhukta sraggandha vaso lankara charchita uchishta bhojino dasa tava mayam jaye mahi. Tvayopabhukta sraggandha vacho lankara charchita uchishta bhojino dasa tava mayam jaye mahi. Tvayopabhukta sraggandha vaso lankara charchita uchishta bhojino dasa tava mayam jaye mahi. Tvayopabhukta sraggandha vaso lankara charchita uchishta bhojino dasa tava mayam jaye mahi. Tvayopabhukta sraggandha vaso lankara charchita uchishta bhojino dasa tava mayam jaye mahi. Here he says, Tvaya upabhukta sraggandha. Tvaya upabhukta means you have already enjoyed it. It has been already offered to you. Sraggandha. Srag means all these garlands. Gandha, sandalwood, and all whatever fragrance that we offer. Tvaya upabhukta sraggandha vaso, the garments. Alankara, various decorations. Charchitaha means Lord is adorned with so many decorations. So he has already used it. So uchishta bhojino means whatever remnants are left over after he has eaten. So by accepting all this, by honoring all these remnants, tava mayam jayamahi, dasaha, your devotees, your servants will conquer your maya. So one way of conquering maya is by respecting the tadiya of Krishna. the garlands that Krishna used, the garments that Krishna used, the prasadam, the remnants of foodstuff that he has left over for us, the decorations, the ornaments, the turban cloth, whatever. Krishna, all these things have been offered to Krishna, and when we honor them, one can easily conquer the material world. Uddhava is not approaching the Lord for liberation from illusory energy, because it doesn't matter. It's easy for him. Just by your tadiya, I can conquer your illusory energy. I don't need you for conquering illusory energy. Your tadiya, your paraphernalia, your maha is sufficient. Your prasadam is sufficient for me to conquer. But I am desiring your service. So Uddhava is not bothered about conquering illusory energy. Uddhava is not bothered to come out of this birth and death cycle. Uddhava is not bothered to live in this material world. These are not his problems. His main problem is separation from Krishna. Kshanarthena pitulaye. Yascha kshana viyogena. What did he say? Kshana. Navam tavangri kavalam kshanardhayana api keshava. Kshanardham api keshava. So you cannot stay away from your lotus feet even for half a moment. So it is clear from this verse that Uddhava is not approaching the Lord for liberation. So Uddhava was undoubtedly a completely liberated soul. He is praying to the Lord because he cannot bear the thought of living without Krishna even for a moment. This feeling is called love of God. So the feelings of separation that a devotee experiences in separation when he is away from Krishna actually show how much love he has. So there is no course or syllabus that can certify you that you are in love of Godhead at the end of completion of the course. Right? There is no certificate given to you. So love means how much separation you feel for the beloved. So that is love. So the devotees of Krishna, pure devotees of Krishna, feel separation from Krishna as soon as the thought of separation enters their mind. Krishna has not yet departed. Krishna is about to depart after some time, after 23 chapters. But Uddhava is overwhelmed by feelings of separation. I cannot bear separation from you even for half a moment. So I have to be, you please take me with you. So that shows he is in love of Godhead. So the more advanced a devotee is, the more feelings of separation he has. So the topmost devotees of the Lord are the gopis. So gopis are the topmost devotees. So they experience these feelings of separation to the maximum possible extent. They are so much in separation from Krishna that they cannot even bear the separation caused by an eye blink. One eye blink. We can't even notice how much time went in blinking an eye, a fraction of a second. But that fraction of a second during which they blink their eyes becomes ages, yugas for them. They cannot bear that much separation also. Once Srimati Radharani was sitting right next to Krishna, and bumblebee, honey bee, was disturbing her. Right? She was making some sounds like that. So Krishna told Madhumangal, you should chase this bee away. It is bothering Srimati Radharani. Then Madhumangal chased the bee away. And he came back and gave a report. Krishna, Madhu has gone. Madhu means bee. Right? Madhu has gone. I chased it away. And Krishna's another name is Madhu. Madhumangal told that Madhu has gone. And Radharani thought that Madhu means Krishna has gone. And Krishna is sitting right next to Radharani. And Radharani became overwhelmed with feelings of separation. She thought that Krishna has gone, Krishna left me. And she started crying. Krishna said, I am right next to you, I didn't go anywhere. But Radharani is crying. Seeing the overwhelming love of Srimati Radharani, Krishna started crying. Their tears formed a sarovar called Prem Sarovar. So, when someone is imbued with so much love, even in the presence of the beloved, they feel separation. So to that extent, pure devotees feel separation from Krishna. So the maximum feelings of separation are experienced by Srimati Radharani and the other gopis. And because these feelings of separation are the topmost spiritual feelings that can exist in relationship with Krishna, these feelings are bestowed upon the gopis. Whenever Krishna kills a demon, kills Arishtasur, or kills Dhenukasur, or lifts Govardhan, or subdues Kaliya, all the Vrajavasis would come running towards Krishna and then embrace Krishna, and then lift Krishna up, and then take his hand and massage. As soon as Krishna kept the Govardhan down, the elderly gopis came to Krishna and took his left hand and started massaging. Oh, you have been carrying the, holding the mountain for a long time. Your hand must be tired, so we will massage. So they started massaging the left hand of Krishna, left fingers of Krishna. And when Krishna came out of Kaliya, lake, all the elderly gopis and gopas and the friends, the sakhas, they came and embraced Krishna. Oh, Krishna, you have come back. We are happy. But in all these incidents, gopis, younger gopis, they never could come in front of Krishna. Because of the society, social customs, they could never express their inside love for Krishna. They were standing in one corner, looking, glancing at Krishna. Because they have no opportunity to express their feelings. They were in separation. And in that separation, they were more in union with Krishna than others who are actually with Krishna. So, these feelings of separation are constantly bestowed upon the gopis because they are the topmost devotees. And even in the presence of Krishna, they are experiencing the topmost feelings of separation because they are the topmost devotees. So, the highest devotional feeling that a devotee can experience is separation for Krishna. So, through our sadhana, bhakti and all various elements of Krishna consciousness, we need to cultivate a sense of separation from Krishna. That is developing love of Godhead. Like that, Godhead means, love of God means cultivating a sense of separation from Krishna, Prabhupada says. So, all these feelings seem very lofty for us. Gopis, feeling separation from Krishna. Uddhava, feeling separation from Krishna. Naham tavanghari kamalam kshanardham api keshava. He says, I can't even wait for half a moment. Arjuna is feeling separation from Krishna. Kshanarth, what is that? Yasya kshana vyogena loko hyapriya darshanaha. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is feeling so much separation from Krishna. Mother Bhumi is feeling so much separation from Krishna. Kava saheta viraham purushottamasya. All the Hastinapur residents are feeling so much separation from Krishna. Kastad viraham saheta. Nase hire vimuhyanto viraham samnadhanvanaha. Darshana sparsha samlapa shayanasana bhojanaihi. All the Pandavas were feeling separation from Krishna. So, hearing about all these feelings of separation of all these devotees, we may not be able to relate to them. It's too much for us, right? When my own friend, he just goes out and he says, I'm going out for a week or 10 days. He said, take jao na, kya jata hai? Kya farak padta hai? We may say like that. Because there is no attachment, there is no feeling of missing him, right? So, but if there is some attachment, when someone is going out, you feel, hey Prabhu, I will miss you. Can you give me your phone number? Can we be in contact? Will you come on email or WhatsApp chat or whatever? So one may ask like that, right? So say Guru Maharaj is going out, or a counselor is going out, or your friend's batchmate going out. So there is, if there is an attachment to all these devotees, we will miss them when they are not around, right? To the extent we have these six loving exchanges with people, to that extent we develop attachment to them, and to the extent we have attachment to them, to that extent we miss them when they are absent physically, right? All these devotees, Uddhava and so many other devotees, they associated with Krishna through all these exchanges. darshana sparsha samlapa shayanasana bhojanaihi. Through all these ways they have experienced the sweetness of Krishna's association. So when Krishna is going out, they cannot bear that separation. So someone who has no experience of union with Krishna, for him to feel separation from Krishna is out of question. Right? We don't remember what it means to be with Krishna. Right? For someone who is living in a hut since his childhood, since his birth, he has never seen a palace, he has never seen a heater, he has never seen an AC, he never came out of his village setting. Would he miss five-star facilities? Because he never had an access to those five-star facilities, he would never miss them. Similarly, for someone who has never seen what it means to be with Krishna, how will he miss Krishna? He cannot miss Krishna. He cannot feel separation from Krishna. But 11th canto, later chapters will prove to us that we conditioned souls, all of us are in separation from Krishna. We are in separation from Krishna, and to think that there is any other cause for misery other than separation from Krishna is an illusion. Why are we miserable in this material world? Because we are in separation from Krishna. We are separated from Krishna, that's why we are miserable. Simple reason. There is no other reason. So, we need to understand that there is a difference between the separation between the pure devotees and separation between pure devotees and Krishna, and separation between conditioned soul and Krishna. The separation, the feelings of separation that a pure devotee experiences when he is away from Krishna are characterized by his remembrance of Krishna, intense remembrance of Krishna. When a conditioned soul is separated from Krishna, his separation is characterized by forgetfulness of Krishna. We are in separation from Krishna due to our forgetfulness. Uddhava, Pandavas, Kunti, all of them are in separation from Krishna due to their remembrance, due to their union. We, due to lack of our union, lack of the remembrance of our union, due to lack of our experience of what it means to be united with Krishna. So our their separation from Krishna is characterized by their intense eagerness to serve Krishna. Our separation from Krishna is characterized by our intense desire to enjoy away from Krishna. I don't want to serve Krishna. That's why we are in separation from Krishna. We are separated from Krishna. Right? So when do we convert our this feelings of separation in, no, we don't feel also. We don't feel that separation. They feel that separation. When do we convert our separation in conditioned state into separation in that liberated state? When we reconnect ourselves with Krishna through the medium of bhakti, sadhana bhakti. So first we need to feel separation from various elements of sadhana bhakti. Oh, today I didn't chant. Today I didn't read Bhagavatam. Today I didn't take darshan of deities. Today I didn't do parikrama of Giriraj. Today I didn't meet devotees. Right? So when we are separated from certain elements of sadhana, which are actually our connection with Krishna in this state, first that separation will come first. Later, we can actually feel separation from Krishna. First, now our separation from Krishna is characterized by forgetfulness, as I said. So, first we need to make an endeavor to remember Krishna. How do we remember Krishna? By following all the elements of sadhana bhakti. So, when we follow all the elements of sadhana bhakti, we cultivate feelings of actual separation from Krishna. Right? Our aspiration of Gaudiya Vaishnava is what? Ramya kachid upasana vrajavadhu vargyena vakalpita. And prema pumartho mahan. You know that verse? Aradhyo bhagavan vrajesha tanayas taddhama vrindavanam ramya kachid upasana vrajavadhu vargyena vakalpita. Srimad bhagavatam pramanam avalam prema pumartho mahan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu matamidam tatradara napara. So we are aspiring the five topmost goals, the conclusive truths as established by Mahaprabhu are that first, our worshipable Lord is Krishna, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanaya. And our worshipable dham is Vrindavan. And the proper method of worship is what is done by the gopis. Ramya kachid upasana vrajavadhu. And the highest spotless praman is Bhagavatam. And our goal is to develop love for Krishna. Prema pumartho mahan. So, see all these five. What are we aspiring for? We are aspiring for love of Godhead. And we have to take guidance from Srimad Bhagavatam. And we have to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Right? So what are the gopis doing? They are worshipping Krishna and they are constantly feeling separation from Krishna. As a Gaudiya Vaishnava, our lofty goal is to follow in the footsteps of Krishna and footsteps of the gopis and worship Krishna. Right? That is the topmost worship. That's what is revealed in the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Mahaprabhu, Madhyalila 8th chapter. So when we are aspiring for such a lofty goal of following in the footsteps of gopis, so we need to actually aspire for the feelings of separation that gopis are experiencing. But it is too lofty for us, right? We can't even imagine and we can't imitate them by becoming sahajyas. First it begins with regularly following the sadhana elements that are given to us. So they will give entrance to all these lofty goals. First, the initial connection begins with chanting, hearing, studying Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, taking darshan, serving the deities. So first, establish a connection with all these elements of sadhana bhakti. Then those lofty goals can be attained eventually, gradually, by the mercy of devotees. Right? Prema. We are here for Krishna Prema. Whether we know or not, whether we understand it or not, whether we actually endeavor for it or not, we are meant to love Krishna. We are actually lovers of Krishna, but we have forgotten that we are lovers of Krishna. We are trying to revive that dormant love for Krishna. Simple. Following in the footsteps of gopis. Taking guidance from Bhagavatam. Taking guidance from Mahaprabhu. Right? That's what we are meant for. That's what is the purpose of our being here. Must be clear about that, right? For that, we have to begin with sadhana bhakti. Right? So Uddhava is feeling intense separation. And one important tip he gives, how to conquer Maya. So Maya is a great obstacle to attain this goal, which we have discussed so far. Maya is an obstacle. How to conquer that Maya? Tvayopa bhukta sraggandha vacho alankara charchita. Vaso alankara charchita. Uchishta bhojino dasah tayam tava mayam jaye mahi. Devotees can conquer Maya by accepting the tadiya of Krishna, paraphernalia that is used by Krishna.
Vata vasana yarshayaham shramana urdhva manthina brahmakhyam dhamate yanti शांताः सन्यासिनो मलाः.
Naked sages who seriously endeavor in spiritual practice, who have raised their semen upward, who are peaceful and sinless members of the renounced order, attain the spiritual abode called Brahman.
So they attain Brahman, right? This is about the impersonalistic people. Kleshodhakatarastesham avyakta asakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukham dehavad bhiravapyate. What all they do? This impersonalistic. 12th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. Sanniyam yendriya gramam. Tetvaksharamanir deshyam avyaktam paryupasate sarvatragamachintyam cha kutasthamachalam dhruvam. Sanniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya. Te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhuta hiterata. They also attain Krishna only, but what feature of Krishna? That is this. And what all they have to undergo? Klesha, adhikatarastesham. So, after attaining impersonal effulgence, will they stay there? They slip out of that jyoti. they slip out of that Brahma Jyoti and then fall into material world. So they are totally dependent on the mercy of God at every second, means devotees. And yet they arrogantly, not devotees, these non-devotees, they are dependent on the Lord, and they arrogantly state that they don't want to accept the shelter of the Lord because they are self-sufficient. So, but Uddhava is pointing out that unlike the impersonalists and meditators, the pure devotees very easily cross over the illusory energy because they are totally attached to the lotus feet of the Lord. Tvat pada potena mahatkritena kurvanti govatsapadam bhavabdhim. Tvat pada potena. The Lord's lotus feet will act like a boat that will allow the devotee to cross over this material ocean very easily. Mahatkritena. And the process of crossing this material ocean is prescribed by great acharyas. Mahatkritena. Kurvanti go vatsapadam bhavabdhim. This entire bhavabdhi material ocean will become as big as calf's hoof print. Not even cow's hoof print or bull's hoof print. Calf's hoof print. Samasritaye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punya yashomarare. So many verses say this. So the lotus feet of the Lord will not only take you across the material ocean, it also has the ability to condense the ocean into a calf's hoof print. You can easily jump over. Right? So what is the other one? Kritsro mahanya bhavarnavam aplavesham shadvarganakrama sukhena titirishanti. Tattvam harer bhagavato bhajaniyamangrim krutvodupam vyasanamuttara dustararanam. You all remember these verses or not? Or am I just speaking? You are remembering, ne? How many are remembering? Raise your hands. I can see 3-4 faces responding. 1, 2. You are supposed to remember all this. These are most key verses. So, 48th verse. And how to come out of that in this age? Chanting the holy name is the main key.
Vayam tviha mahayogin.
Brahmantaha karma vartmasu. Tvadvartaya tarishyamaha. Tavakair dustaram tamaham. Smarantaha kirtayantaste. Kritani gaditani cha. Gatyut smite kshana kleshvi. Kshveli yanriloka vidambanam.
O greatest of mystics, although we are conditioned souls wandering on the path of fruity work, we will certainly cross beyond the darkness of this material world simply by hearing about your lordship in the association of your devotees. Thus we are always remembering and glorifying the wonderful things you do and the wonderful things you say. We ecstatically recall your amorous pastimes with your confidential conjugal devotees and how you boldly smile and move about while engaged in such youthful pastimes. My dear Lord, your loving pastimes are bewilderingly similar to the activities of ordinary people within this material world.
So although we are wandering in this material world because of our karmas, vayam tviha mahayogin brahmantaha karma vartmasu. Brahmantaha, brahman karre. So all these devotees, all the living entities in this world, they are just transmigrating from one body to another body. Karma vartmasu, because of karma. But there is a means for deliverance. What is that? Tvadvartaya tarishyamaha. Tarishyamaha. Deliverance will happen by tvadvarta, your topics. When we discuss your topics, we can easily be delivered. Right? Tavakair dustaram tamaha. It is very difficult to cross over this material ocean, but still it will become very easy if we discuss your pastimes. And also remembrance. Smarantaha kirtayantascha. One remembers and glorifies what? Kritani gaditani cha. Gati utsmityekshana kshveli yanriloka vidambanam. So by remembering and glorifying your deeds, kritani, gaditani, your words, gati, your movements, utsmita, your smiling, ikshana, your glances, kshveli, your loving pastimes, by remembering and glorifying all this, we can easily cross over. Right? So the Bhagavatam, when we read it, repeatedly Bhagavatam is emphasizing that crossing over the material ocean is possible, very easily possible, by taking shelter of Krishna Katha. Dhru Maharaj also says, Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvayime prasango bhuyat ananta mahatam amalashayanam yenanja solbana muruvyasanam bhavabdhim neshye bhavad guna kathamrata panam attaha yena anjasa, very easily I can cross. Anjasa, ulbana, uru, vyasana, bhava, abdhim. What all he says, Dhru Maharaj, yena anjasa, ulbana means very great, uru, again, very great, right, very unsurpassable. Vyasana, it is infested with so much of troubles. Bhava, material existence, abdhi, it is like an ocean. Just to describe this one material ocean, he gave, you know, so many words, adjectives, bolte, adjectives, right? I don't know grammar so much. Huh? So all these adjectives are there to describe how difficult it is to surpass this material ocean. But yena anjasa, very easily we can cross. How? Neshe bhavat guna kathamrata panamattaha. Because I am intoxicated by hearing the glories of your pastimes, I can easily cross over this material ocean. You add, you know, 10 more adjectives, how difficult it is to surpass this material ocean. It doesn't matter so much to me. Anjasa, very easily. Right? So same thing Uddhava is also saying here. Iha esya harer dasya. So hearing and chanting the holy name and pastimes of Krishna is infinitely more effective than becoming a naked yogi in the forest and running the constant risk of becoming due to lusty desires and sex indulgence, a naked monkey in the forest. Uddhava is begging the Lord for the mercy of his Sudarshan Chakra, whose effulgence is represented by the process of remembering and chanting the pastimes of the Lord. Last verse. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Evam Vignapito Rajan, Bhagavan Devaki Sutaha, Ekantinam Priyam Bhrityam, Uddhavam samabhashatam.
Sukhdev Goswami said, O King Parikshit, thus addressed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Devaki, began to reply confidentially to his dear unalloyed servant Uddhava.
So according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so the purport says, but if they engage in hearing and chanting about the pastimes of Personality Godhead, the conditioned souls will achieve liberation from the bondage of repeated birth and death. This process of supreme liberation will now be elaborately described by Krishna, and that will be the beginning of Uddhava Gita, which will begin tomorrow. Thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.